B104.3. Good morning. This is Morning Go. So we are waiting for a phone call from Ryder Strong of Boy Meets World and the Pod Meets World. He's led this podcast and he's done a number of other things. He's also a writer and a director, and he has this new podcast that is more like a fiction piece, and it's called Red Weather. And so I'm excited for you to get to hear from him about that. And then also, I just wanted to remind you of who Ryder Strong from Boy Meets World is. He's the actor who played Corey's best friend, Sean.
Okay, why are you so happy?
Well, I think I met someone. Someone special.
Sean, you just giggled.
Yeah, I've been doing that a lot.
So we're just waiting on a phone call for Coffee with Kane, which is fueled by Scooters.
Coffee with Kane is fueled by Scooters in Farmington. Okay, now I want coffee. Yum, Scooters.
Okay, so just waiting on that phone call, and Mikey from New York just texted me. And so as soon as he calls, we will be talking with Ryder Strong of Boy Meets World and the new podcast, Red Weather. Yep, here we go. B104, this is Audra.
It's all yours.
All right, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh my gosh, it's so great to talk to you. You have one of those voices that is so familiar to so many people from your time on Boy Meets World. Ryder Strong, what a joy to get to hear you. How you doing today, first off?
I'm good, thank you. It's so funny, like people will actually recognize me for my voice. Like I'll be talking somewhere in public and people will be like, I know you. And I'm like, do you? And then they're like, oh yeah, Boy Meets World. And I'm like, yep, it never changed. I still sound like a 15-year-old boy. So.
No, that's okay. Sometimes I sound much younger than I am sometimes, and I'm okay with it.
No, me too.
I'm truly fascinated by what your new project is, because you're an actor, you're a filmmaker, and with Pod Meets World, you started down the road of talking about Boy Meets World and then into the world of podcasts. So why this new series, The Red Weather?
That's a good question. I think really it's, you know, part of it is just from doing Pod Meets World and reflecting on my time on Boy Meets World when I was a teenager and all those memories. It really brought me back to that period of my life. And there's this whole other side to that part of my life, which was that I was still living in the Redwoods of Northern California. I was going home every weekend while we were shooting Boy Meets World. You know, and every 2 or 3 weeks when you're doing a show like that, you have a hiatus week. So I would go home. That's where I went to high school, up in Northern California. So there's this whole aspect of my life that I hadn't been revisiting while doing Pod Meets World that I wanted to. And I have a lot of questions about that time. And, you know, it's a very specific era and area. Like there's a lot of communes and sort of alternative family situations. There's a lot of drugs. There's a lot of experimentation. And yet there was also a lot of beautiful nature, the redwood trees, and it was gorgeous. And it was a great place and a great time to grow up, but also a very fascinating and mysterious time. And so I was thinking about all of these things, and I also love mysteries. I love true crime podcasts. I listen to audiobooks of novels all the time. And I thought, you know, what if I combine these two things and went back to interview friends and family and talk about a period of my life that I haven't really talked about publicly, but then also find a way to make it kind of thrilling and exciting with a fictional crime. And so I inserted a fake situation, a missing girl who does not exist in real life, who disappeared, from my hometown. And I decided to make that fake crime a sort of entry point for what hopefully is a fun 8-episode arc.
I've listened to like Colby Smulder doing podcast, you know, stories on Audible. And so I love the fact that you're doing this because it gives you, I hope I'm not overstepping when I say this, it gives you a creative outlet that doesn't necessarily force you into working with so many other people, you know, 70 people on a movie set or something like that. So is that one of the things that drew you to it, is that you get to do this? You get to invent this story.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I've been screenwriting primarily for the last 10 years and, you know, working as a screenwriter and nothing gets made. You know, I sell scripts, I rewrite other people's scripts, I take pitches, I sell pitches, and nothing, you know, nothing gets out to the world. And it's very frustrating. It's very hard. That's the hardest part about being a screenwriter, is you put all your creative energy into this thing, but if a studio or producer doesn't give you millions of dollars to make it, it never happens. And I am tired of that. And, you know, so the idea that I could run around with a microphone, which costs, you know, relatively nothing, and gather actors and friends and just do it and tell the story start to finish without any real interference or barriers in terms of budget was really, that was the major impetus behind this. It was like, oh, I can just do it. Nobody's going to giving me notes about, you know, what's too personal or what's fake or what's not, because it's all me.
Yeah,
exactly. Right. Like, it, you know, and then also just, yeah, it was kind of like a way to be a filmmaker without having to raise millions of dollars. And
yeah,
it was so satisfying for that very reason.
You and I both know theater of the mind is one of the most powerful avenues of storytelling there is, because we imagine those characters ourselves, and I live for theater of the mind. I'm in radio. I've been doing this, I'm not going to tell you how long. Anyway, so the Red Weather also includes some of your family, some, you know, some actors, people in the industry. How did your family feel about being involved?
They felt mostly good. I had to keep them in the dark a lot, because even though this was very outlined and structured and scripted in a lot of ways, I am interviewing like my parents and my brother about memories from our lives that I didn't want them to know exactly in what context they were going to be put. So I spent a lot of time working with them without them knowing quite what I was doing, which must have been very confusing. And then after, you know, several days and sessions of interviews and questioning, I was with them, and I created scenes that were structured, that were somewhat scripted. I'd be like, okay, well, this is where this is happening. And we had so much fun. My parents are surprisingly good actors. And it really harkens back to, like, you know, how I became an actor in the first place, was that my dad came home with a video camera when I was like two or three. You know, this is back when VHSs were still a big deal.
Sure.
And not everybody had them. And my brother and I just started making movies with my parents, and everybody had to have a part, you know, so we would make my parents the bad guys, we would be the superheroes, whatever. And my parents were so game in the best way to play those roles. And so, you know, here we were doing the same thing again in our 40s. And I remember my brother looking at me and being like, this is the same, we've been doing the same thing since we were 8 years old.
That's, you know, so awesome.
We were laughing and having a great time. It was truly, truly like a super satisfying. And then my wife is an actor, so when I dragged her in and gave her a part to play, it was really easy and fun, and we've worked together as actors. That's actually how we met. So for me to ask her to act with me was really easy.
That's fantastic. Well, what a joy to get to chat with you, Writer Strong, and your podcast is called The Red Weather, and it is all you. And that's fantastic, because you're a beloved person. You're a beloved person. So thanks so much for chatting with us today.
Thanks, Audra. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too.
Thanks, Audra.
Thanks, Mikey.
Have a good one, baby.
You too. Oh, my goodness. Is it just me, or did he sound sad at the end there? I doubt seriously it had anything to do with not talking to us anymore, and more to do with the fact that he's probably tired from doing all of these publicity phone calls. So really appreciate Writer Strong's time chatting with us. And you can find his podcast, Red Weather, anywhere that you listen to podcasts. And, of course, as a reminder, Coffee with Kane will be posted up on our Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can find the links for that on my page on our website. Go to b104fm.com/Audra. That's A-U-D-R-A. And Coffee with Kane is brought to you by Scooters in Farmington.
Coffee with Kane is fueled by Scooters in Farmington. Okay, now I want coffee. Yum, Scooters.
Yeah, coffee sounds good right now. Maybe that's what Ryder Strong needed. More coffee. Yum, Scooters.